But in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, the Lord Jesus spoke of two particular individuals. And we're not going to read the whole portion of Scripture just now, but I do want to read one verse. And what I want us to think upon for a little while this afternoon is locked down forever. Locked down forever. And I'm thinking about that rich man that opened his eyes in hell and then wanted to be relieved of his torment. But it was said to him in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 26, "And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." These are the words of Father Abraham to the rich man in hell. And to that rich man he said, "There is a great gulf fixed." A great gulf fixed. And that brings us therefore then to think for a moment or two about this subject this afternoon. Locked down forever. And we have known something of a lockdown over these past weeks and months now, when people are not able to leave their home, and even those who do are restricted in their movements and where they can go and where we can gather and who we can connect with and meet up with. But what about this thought of lockdown forever in eternity? That's far more serious when you think about whatever might happen here in life and might happen for a period of weeks or a period of months. But what must it be to be lost in hell forever? To be in a lost eternity. And that's what these words are referring to here. As I say, they were spoken to the rich man who was lost. He was wanting ease from his torment. He wanted Lazarus to come and to dip the tip of his finger in cold water and to put it upon his tongue. For he said, "I am tormented in this flame." But here is the response that was given to him at that time. He was told that there was a great gulf fixed, that Lazarus could not do that. As much as the rich man desired it and wanted it, as much as he was in torment, it was impossible, absolutely impossible, for Lazarus ever to leave the realms of heaven and go down to that place known as hell, and there to dip his finger in water and cool the tongue of this rich man who was lost in hell. And this man was told that he will never ever leave. There is a great gulf fixed here, he was told. There is a great divide, there is a great separation, he was told, between you and between others, between all those who are lost and all those who are saved. And surely, men and women, that brings home to us the importance of the things of God, the importance of the Word of God, the importance of knowing Christ as Savior and being ready for heaven. Surely when we come to a portion of Scripture like this and think about the reality of these individuals, does it not underscore even what brings us with an interest to be here to this afternoon, and a desire as well ultimately to get back to our regular services in the house of God? It's because the things of God are important. The Word of God is important. The Gospel of Jesus Christ is important. It's absolutely essential because it has to do with our eternal destiny. It has to do with not only life and well-being in this world, and that's certainly part and parcel of knowing Christ, our well-being here in this world, but ultimately our well-being in eternity. And that's far more important. And I want us to consider for a little time this afternoon, this man and this thought of lockdown forever, lockdown in hell forever. What a terrible thought. The first thing I want you to consider is that heaven and hell are eternal realities. Heaven and hell are eternal realities. This is not a parable. Now, there are some who would like to make out that it is a parable. For example, the Jehovah's Witnesses, for one, certainly try to make out that this part of the Word of God is a parable, but it's not. It is not a parable. We cannot explain away the terms and the places that are mentioned here in this portion of Scripture. When it says this man opened his eyes in hell, that's a reality. When it tells us that he was in torment, that's a reality. When he pleaded to be relieved of the torment, even if it were possible for one drop of water to be dropped on his tongue, my friend, that's a reality. This is not a parable. This is not some make-believe. This is some not some mere illustration that is used here in the Word of God. And why we say that is because these are real individuals that are spoken about. The name of one individual is mentioned here, Lazarus. He's the individual who is carried into Abraham's bosom upon his death. He knows Christ as Savior. And at that very moment of death, he's taken into the presence of the Lord. That's what happens to all those who know Christ. But then there's this other individual. His name is not given, but his character is given. He's described as a rich man. The Bible tells us that he fared sumptuously every day. He was a very wealthy individual, very well to do. Didn't have a need, it would seem, in all his life. He was dressed in purple. The finest of clothes belonged to him. So the circumstances that are detailed here indicate to us that these individuals are real. And that brings us then to consider the fact that heaven and hell are real. It says that both of them died. And as we know very well, particularly over these last weeks and months, death is real. Death is real. You cannot escape that fact in life, that death is an inevitable reality in this world. And as the Lord tarries, it is inevitable for all of us. It is appointed unto us once to die. So there are all these details that are given here in this portion of Scripture that indicates to us that it is indeed reality. And then it speaks about their eternal destiny. It speaks about one who's carried into Abraham's bosom and the other who goes down into hell. These are realities, men and women, and surely we ought to think about them, particularly when you remember that Jesus Christ spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. If you go through all the spoken words of the Lord Jesus in the four Gospels and mark down all of those times that he spoke of heaven, and then mark down all of those times that he spoke of hell, you will find out that he spoke more often of hell than he did of heaven. He warned of hell. He told us to flee from wrath to come. He told us that there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. These are realities. And surely we need to think about those realities and ask ourselves the question, even this afternoon, to which of these places am I going? Am I destined for heaven or for a lost eternity in that place called hell? For one or the other, it will be. Just as we cannot escape death, we cannot escape going either to heaven or to hell. And surely, my friend, it would be your desire to go to heaven. Who would want to go to hell? Who would want to be lost in this place that the Bible speaks of here? But we, in order to be in heaven, we have to make preparation. We have to make preparation. So the first thing that I want you to notice there is that heaven and hell are eternal realities. I want you also to consider here that once in these places, there is no opportunity to leave. Now that's a great comfort for the child of God, for the individual who knows Jesus Christ. What a comfort that when we're in heaven, we'll be there never to leave the Lord's presence. The Bible tells us that we will be with him forever. Once we leave this scene of time, and once we pass out of this world into the next, and into the Lord's presence for those who are in Christ, then we are with Christ for all of eternity. We will never leave his presence. He will never leave us. It will never be as it was here on earth when he was with his disciples and he told those disciples that he was going to leave and how they were heartbroken. And you have those words in John's Gospel, "Let not your heart be troubled." And those were directed to disciples who had just learned afresh and maybe realized for the very first time that the Savior was indeed going to take his leave of them. But if we know Christ as Savior, Then when we are with him, it will be so for all of eternity. But then it is equally so for those that are out of Christ and who do not enter into heaven, but who are lost in hell. They will be in hell forever. Just as heaven lasts forever, so does that place called hell. And that does bring us in to think about this reality, as I've used it as a title for this message this afternoon, locked down forever. What must it be to be in hell forever? To be in a place of torment would be bad enough, but if there was some prospect of getting out, if there was some day in the future, no matter how far away it was in the future, at least there would be hope that one day I will exit this place. But what must it be to be lost in hell forever? With that knowledge, there is a great gulf fixed, and there is no escape. There is no leaving this awful place. That's what this rich man was told. That's what he was told. That when we leave this scene of time and go out into God's eternity, our eternal destiny is fixed forever. It's not that it continues for a period of time and then we revert to something else. Hell lasts forever. What an awful place. We've already mentioned those words here where it says that he was in torment. Well, what was his torment? Well, it certainly had some degree of physicality to it. There's literal fire in hell, we know that, but there was more to his torment than just that. Because you think about some of the things that were said to him. First of all, there was no answered prayer. He prayed, but it was too late. Oh, he wanted someone to hear him and send Lazarus, but Lazarus never came. Hell is a place of unanswered prayer. Here now is the time to pray. When we're in this world, now is the time to call upon the Lord and seek him for salvation. Because in a lost eternity, there is no hell, or there's no answered prayer. There's no mercy either. Nobody came to relieve him of his torment. In fact, in a sense, it only increased because what he was said was, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime." And there was a bringing back to him what privileges he had enjoyed, even what privileges he had wasted. And I wonder this afternoon, is there someone under the sound of my voice and you're unsaved and you're unconverted, but you've had many opportunities, you've heard the gospel many times, and yet this afternoon finds you out of Christ? What would it be to be lost and to remember every opportunity you had to be saved? To remember every opportunity you had to come to Christ? That you missed, that you wasted, that you didn't take, and then to be lost forever, and to remember that, as was said to this man, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime." Those words would suggest that that man had the ability to look over his whole life in hell. What a torment that must be, to look over your life and to remember missed opportunities. And how many today are lost. Lost because of missed opportunities. The Lord was speaking. The Spirit was striving. But they didn't want to listen. Didn't want to come to Christ. And then to be lost in a place where you remember all of that. What must it be to be lost and to have an awakened conscience? And never to leave. Never to leave. I finish off with this final thought. It's what we do with Jesus Christ determines whether we will be in heaven or whether we will be in hell. The fact that one of these men was poor and the other was rich had no bearing upon their eternal destiny. It doesn't mean that the poor go to heaven and the rich go to hell. That has got absolutely no influence upon the eternal destiny of either of these men. Because the Bible tells us it's what we do with Jesus Christ. It is hope in Christ that gets us into heaven. It is coming to know him as our Savior. He is called the blessed hope in the Bible. And it is coming to know him that gives us that hope. Because that hope is set forth in the Scriptures. And isn't that what was mentioned to this rich man when he wanted somebody to go back to his brothers rise from the dead and go back and warn them? What was he told? He was told they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, they have the Bible. Let them listen to the Bible. That's what the rich man was told in hell. He suddenly got a concern about spiritual well-being, the spiritual well-being of his brothers. It was too late for him, but he wanted someone to go and warn his brothers. And he was told there's nobody going to rise from the dead and go back to warn them. No, they've got the Bible. They've got Moses and they've got the prophets. Let them listen to them. Because in this book, you see, it tells us of the way to heaven. Why would you need any other way? When it tells us in the Word of God, the way of salvation, when it tells us that it's faith in Christ alone, that it's been born again by the Spirit of God, it's that work of grace in our soul whereby we are saved, washed in His blood and cleansed from sin. That's what it is that we need. That's what it is that will get us into heaven. And this afternoon, I trust the Lord would even write that truth upon every heart. And if you are here in this car park this afternoon, or even outside of it listening on, I trust that you may come to know Jesus Christ. You can come to know Him where you are. You just need to cry out to Him for mercy to save you. Acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you need God's salvation and call upon Him to save you where you are. And there is that promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, you can be saved just where you are this very moment. You don't need a preacher. I'll certainly help you any way I can, but you don't need a preacher. You don't need a church. You just need to cry out unto Jesus Christ. He is the Savior of sinners, and He's willing to save, and He's willing to hear. And He says, if you call, then you will be heard. You see, it's here now in this world. If you call, you'll be heard. The rich man wasn't heard in hell, and that was his problem. He had lived contentedly all his life just with the things of this world, never thinking about his eternal destiny. And may you think even today about your eternal destiny. May you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I trust the Lord will bless His word to your heart this afternoon. We're just going to bow together in prayer. Our Father, we pray that Thou will bless Thy word as we have been meditating upon it here in this place. And turn souls even this day to Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for a Savior from sin. We bless Thee, Lord, there is a gospel message to proclaim. And it is our prayer that men and women, young people, boys and girls will be awakened to flee from wrath to come. We'll come to know Him whom to know is life eternal. Grant Thy blessing, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.